The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1 will be our starting place. We're going to kind of work through a little bit of 1 Timothy, jump into 2 Timothy, and then we'll end up in 1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. The message is simply entitled, Get in the Fight. Get in the Fight. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thoroughly enjoy 1 and 2 Timothy. I like the message that Paul is giving to Timothy. I think as you read through these two epistles that Timothy needed some encouraging. Timothy needed a little pushing. Timothy needed to be encouraged to get in the fight, to be in the battle, and to do what the Lord had called him to do. So let's pray and then we'll get into this message. Lord, we come before you again this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together, to be under the teaching and preaching of your word. I pray this time will be profitable. I pray you speak through me. I pray the intent will be understood. I pray the Holy Spirit have free reign. I pray we would be attentive and then apply what needs to be applied to our life, that we'd be encouraged, Lord, to get in the fight, to be engaged, and be what you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's start right off in verse 18. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 says, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee, thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. I enjoy 1 2 Timothy because you're encouraged to fight a good warfare. I'm not prone to fight, but if need be, we can get into it. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. My dad said that the only fair fight's the one you win. Amen. All right. So, but he said the war, a good warfare. Let's get back on track. War, a good warfare, Timothy. Timothy was to stand up for the truth. No matter what came, no matter what happened, no matter what came his way, he was to stand up for the truth, for the gospel, for the word of God. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 and verse 8, he says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time of war and a time of peace. I believe you and I are living in a time that trying to reach an understanding or trying to pacify hostile opposition, I think that's over to some degree. It's a time to wage war, spiritually speaking. He says in the next verse, holding faith, not only the great body of truth we call the faith, but also the faith of you and I living a divinely implanted principle that sees us through, living our faith out, not just holding on to the glorious book and waving it around, but letting that book and the truth of that book be seen in our lives. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And then he says in verse 19, a good conscience. A good conscience. Listen, you can't put a price on a good conscience. The person who has a guilty, accusing conscience is terribly handicapped in waging this spiritual war, handicapped in doing the Lord's work. That's why the devil's after you the way he is, because he knows now if he can get a hold of your life, if he can start to ruin your testimony, if he can get you involved in things you shouldn't be involved in, then he'll use the guilt of your sin, the guilt of the mistakes you make to hamper and to hinder you from being all that Christ would have you to be. But understand this morning, even if you've already messed up, hey, listen, your sins are forgiven and you get a fresh start with the Lord, amen? Don't let the guilt of what you've done, don't let the guilt of what you've been involved in, the guilt of your past keep you from getting engaged in the fight and being what God would have you to be. Every time the devil brings that to mind, you say, listen, it's under the blood. I'm forgiven. I have a fresh start and I'm moving forward for Jesus Christ. Listen, we need this generation. We need you 3,000 plus to get engaged in the fight and be what Christ would have you to be. Hey, the world, the unsaved souls dying and going to hell need you to make a stand. They need you to contend for the faith. They need you to stand for the truth, and they need you to live that truth, and they need to see it in your lives. They need to hear it in your words. They need to see Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's turn over there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 12. Well, we'll start in verse 11. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So he tells Timothy there to fight the good fight of faith. Fight. He's to strive. He's as if to win or lean or push towards a prize in a public arena. Timothy was being called upon to fight for the faith, the revealed body of truth found in the Bible, found in the New Testament. And then he says to lay hold on eternal life. He says, hey, keep your grip on it. Appropriate practically the benefits and the privileges and responsibilities involved in the possession of eternal life. We ought to live like we have eternal life. Hey, this time on earth is just a blip. We're going to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he says, appropriate practically the benefits, the privileges, and responsibilities involved in the possession of eternal life. It's one thing to be saved. And many of you are sitting here this morning, hey, I'm saved. I pray all of you are saved. If you're not saved here this morning, what are you waiting on? We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. But there's more than just being saved. It's one thing to be saved, but quite another to translate that salvation into our daily living. Paul knew what Timothy was up against in Ephesus. Paul had been up against the same type of mentality, the same type of false teaching and all that was going on in Corinth and Galatia and Jerusalem. But as you and I know, Paul was a fighter. Timothy did not have, I think, Paul's toughness, so he sought to infuse a fighting spirit in his young son in the faith, in Timothy. It was and is no time to stand on the sidelines. Christianity, listen, is for contestants, not spectators. The world, the enemy, the world that we live in is enemy territory. There's no ground for neutrality on your part and mine. We're to be engaged in the fight. Though Paul cannot be with Timothy, listen, God was. And that's part of what Paul is teaching Timothy in these letters. God was. The presence of God was with Timothy. Timothy had a sure and certain hope of resurrection, of life eternal, so he had nothing to fear. He had the power of God upon his life. Notice with me in verse 11, this is not the message, but I can't pass it up, chapter 6, verse 11. Notice there's three F's in verses 11 and 12. "But thou, O man of God, flee." Now notice he said man of God. He didn't say wimp, coward. He said man of God. This is what a man of God, a lady of the Lord should do. Flee these things, and they're listed above. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Listen, young person, young adult. If you don't flee, then you're going to compromise. And if you don't follow what it says to follow, you'll be careless. And if you don't fight, you're a coward. He said, well, those some harsh words. Truth is truth. Take it as it applies. Look at verses 20 and 21, the same chapter, 20 and 21. As Paul wraps up this letter to Timothy, the first one, he says in verse 20, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust." And then he says this, "avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee." Understand this morning, the devil goes after the mind. The battlefield is your mind. Some of you got some great battles taking place in your mind. That's where we win or where we lose our fight, is in the mind. The devil goes after the mind. He tells Timothy here, he says, hey, keep that which is committed to thy host. And he tells him to avoid some things. Let me just give you four things there that you ought to avoid. Listen, he said, well, I just don't know what to do. Well, number one, avoid things that are ungodly. Okay, avoid the things that are ungodly. Avoid things that are unworthy. Avoid things that are untruthful. Avoid things that are unfaithful. If you'll just practice those four, they'll take you a long way in your walk with the Lord. The devil goes after the mind. Listen, God doesn't expect you just to get out there and win every argument with the unsaved, every argument with someone who's from a cult or whatever it may be. What the Lord wants us to do, and what Paul is telling Timothy, is that he wants us to live in a way that will convict the unsaved and to love them in a way that will make them want to be converted, want to be saved, to want to have what you have. Hey, leave it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes after the conscience. The Holy Spirit goes after the heart. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 17 that grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Listen, Timothy had plenty of truth. He had been taught by Paul. He had worked with Paul side by side. He'd been in other churches. Timothy had plenty of truth. What Timothy needed was grace. And what type of grace did he need? He needed grace to stand firm in an all-encompassing, and all-sufficient grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had truth. Listen, you have truth. Many of you have been in church since before you were born. You know the Word of God. You know the Romans Road. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know how the Holy Spirit works. You have felt and you've seen the Holy Spirit work in your life. You know the truth, but you need the grace to stand. You need the grace to engage in the fight. The battle is real. Aren't you glad we're still here after all the nonsense of yesterday? I mean, you would have thought yesterday was the end of the world. I mean, it was crazy. And I missed the whole thing anyways. That's the world, getting you all worked up. That's not us. We're calm, cool, and collected because we know Jesus Christ and we have the truth. But we need the grace to stand. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A spirit of fear, that's an enslaving spirit. A spirit of fear is crippling. It handicaps you, keeps you from being all that Christ would have you to be. But it says there that God gives you a power and of love and of a sound mind. That's an emancipating spirit. It sets you free. It sets you free to be all that Christ would have you to be. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1, moving quickly. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That means you need to be strong within, strength of soul, strength of purpose, being what Christ would have you to be. Verse 3 is my favorite verse in the Bible. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Life's tough. Life's hard. You got to learn to endure some hardness. You got to learn to take some blows. You got to learn to be criticized and learn to be made fun of and memed and all those good things. Amen? Just got to learn to take it. And keep on scrolling, amen? You got to endure some hardness. You got to toughen up. You got to be what Christ would have you to be. He says endure hardness. That means suffer evil, suffer trouble, endure some affliction. Look at verse 4. Endure hardness. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. God's purpose in this world, in this age, listen, are spiritual, not social, spiritual. If enough people were to get saved from their sins, our social ills would resolve themselves. You can go back and read in history, genuine spiritual awakenings have resulted in social change. We get it out of order and think if we can take care of the social, that'll fix the spiritual. It's wrong. Fix the spiritual, the social will take care of itself. But that's not going to happen if God's people don't get engaged in the fight. They don't roll up their sleeves and get involved and be what Christ would have them to be. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing. He's finished. He says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. 2 Timothy 4, 7, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul says, listen, Timothy, you know me. I have been engaged in the battle. I've been engaged in the fight. I've been engaged in conflict for the cause of Jesus Christ. But notice that he's talking past. I have done these things. I have finished my course. I've run the race that the Lord would have me to run. I've done the work God has called me to do. I have kept the faith. Listen, Paul had never wavered in his faith. His faith was as firm and steady under the shadow of the executioner's axe as it had been the moment he first believed in Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He says, Timothy, I've done these things, and now you need to. You need to roll up your sleeves. You need to get engaged and get in the fight. And you're saying, well, that's just wonderful, Dr. Phillips. Thanks for sharing all that with us. You just ran us right through 1 and 2 Timothy. And you told us to get in the fight, but I'm 18 years old. What does that mean to me? I'm 22. What does that mean to me? How do I take what you just ran through and apply that to my life? Well, I'm glad you're thinking that, and I'm glad you asked that. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's go to a story we're all familiar with, David and Goliath. And let's see this in action. Let's see what Paul said to Timothy being applied in this story. We see from the account in 2 Timothy that Paul's fight is finished. And he fought a good fight. He was in the battle. And the Bible says that Timothy is a younger man. He's coming in behind Paul, and Paul's encouraging him. He's saying, listen, Timothy, I want you to get in the battle. I want you to endure. I want you to strive. I want you to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. And listen, you and I this morning, we are in a fight of faith. We're in a fight for the souls of men. We're in a fight for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's a real fight. You can act like you're not part of it, but if you're saved this morning, if you're born again, you're already on one side. You're already on the Lord's side, so why don't you just go ahead and get engaged for Jesus Christ? There's a lot of people that are saved, and sad to say, they're not engaged in the fight. We have people that talk a lot about the fight of faith, but as I have lived my life, I look around, and I'm wondering whether I hear them talking, but why aren't they engaging? Why aren't they in the battle? Why aren't they fighting for the cause of Christ? Why aren't they standing tall for Jesus Christ? Look in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and look at verse 1. It says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. So you got the Philistines all gathered together. Look at verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So the picture, you know the picture. You got two armies that are gathered together for battle. And they're just waiting for someone to get things rolling and get the battle on. Look at verse 20 of 1 Samuel 17. We find David. It says in verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, his father. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. So we have this scene of two armies that are gathered. David appears on the scene, and there's a whole lot of shouting taking place. They're shouting for a fight. They're talking about getting it on, going to battle. How many of you ever seen two guys attempting to get in a fight? You see them kind of shuffling around. They're kind of shoulder bumping. A bunch of nonsense. If you get in a fight, get on with it. Amen? Listen, I played 8 years of tackle football. I love to hit. My dad wanted me to be a quarterback. I said, I like linebacker. That's what I like. They had been gathered together. They had been shouting. Goliath has been coming out, blah, blah, flapping his lips. There's men in that camp on Israel's side who should be going up there. Saul, number one, should have taken the lead and gone at it. We know that David's oldest brother, he was a big man. He's just hunkered down in camp as well. There's nobody engaged in battle. Just a lot of flapping of lips and yelling and hooting and hollering. And then David shows up on the scene. Of course, we know David. You know, is there not a cause? You know, I believe there's a lot of Christians who run their mouth and engage in the wrong areas. A lot of Christians love to get in a fight in church. They like to say things in church they'd never say to the out in the world. It happens on Christian college campuses too. Fighting the wrong people, engaging the wrong things. How many of you this morning thinks the devil hates you? How many of you here this morning thinks the devil hates your future children, staff and faculty? You think the devil hates your children? You think he hates Jesus Christ? Think he hates your church, hates this church, hates this college? Listen, there's a battle to get engaged in. We need to stop shouting. We need to stop posturing. We need to stop posing. What are you going to do with the glorious book? What are you going to do with the truth contained in God's word? Are you in the fight this morning? You need to step out on the battlefield and put yourself at risk. Every time you fight, there's always a risk of losing. I wish it were true that every time we fought, we would win, but my Bible is filled with people who stood for right and ended up dying for the cause of Jesus Christ. You read the book of Hebrews, it's not all glamorous. Others did not get deliverance, but I'll tell you this, they were engaged in the fight, and you and I need to be engaged as well. If you're a lady here this morning, you're like, are you telling me to get in a fight? You're telling me to engage in a fight? Well, isn't there a lady in the Old Testament, Jael? Didn't she drive a tent stake through a man's head? Amen. I mean, that's a fighting woman right there. Now, you may not want to marry her, but you want her on your side. Amen. I'm just saying. Ladies need to be engaged in the fight. I'm going to give you four things real quick from the life of David. I pray will be practical and will encourage you to get in the fight. Think about what we ran through in 1 and 2 Timothy, what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do. We find a young man just like you. He's a youth. He's young. He's a young adult. And he comes upon a scene, and there was a cause, just as there's a cause today. And David gets involved. He gets engaged in the fight. And so, number one, I want you to see this about David. Number one, David knew who he was. David knew who he was. Look at verse 14 of the chapter. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. Verse 33 in the chapter says, And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So he's a young adult just like you. Verse 42, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. He was a young person. And I find it particularly instructive in verse 42 that this young man that's standing for the God of heaven is being mocked by the world. Notice what it said. The Philistine looked about and saw David. He disdained him. Listen, embrace who you are this morning. You're a young adult. And God can use you. You're a young adult. You're a young saved person. God wants you to get engaged in the fight. If you're born again, you're on the Lord's side. You're part of His family. God the Father is your heavenly Father. And regardless of what kind of Christian background you have, you ought to get involved in the fight. People say, "Oh, well, you're too young. You don't know enough. You don't have enough experience." Who cares what they say? God's called. Roll up your sleeves and get going. Because you can do something. You can do something. The fight is not just for men that are called the ministry. The fight is for all of us. We're all called to engage in the battle. You should be engaged. But I'm telling you, if you get engaged in the fight, the world's going to make fun of you. That's why you got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's going to mock you. It's going to mock how you dress. It's going to mock the music you play. The fact that you don't use the same language, that maybe, hey, you're still a virgin, you're still pure. They're going to mock you for that. You know what you say? Mock on. I'm living for Jesus Christ. I don't live for myself. I don't live for my flesh. I don't live for the applause of this world. I don't live for your stinking opinion or approval. I live for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get engaged and let the world mock. You got to know who you are. You're a young adult. I think it's also interesting, and I'll take just a moment to look at it. Look at verse 12. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had eight sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. I think it's interesting that the Bible specifies who son David was. I would think if I had written the Bible, I would have said that David was the son of Jesse. And left it at that. But that's not what the scripture says. The Bible says that David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah. And if you'll pause and think on that just a little bit, I think it'll take you back to the book of Ruth. When you start thinking about Ruth, I think about David's dad, Jesse, and Jesse's dad was Obed, and Obed's dad's name was Boaz, and Boaz was married to a Moabitess woman by the name of Ruth. So Ruth had no part, no claim, no hope to be part of what the people of God were. And I say that this morning just to remind you that we're all sinners. We were born sinners, deserve to die and go to hell, but because of Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary's tree and because of an empty tomb, you and I are now sinners saved by grace. Amen? Amen. I was a nothing, and then I met Jesus Christ. David didn't come from some great line of royalty. You begin to trace his tree. It's an interesting tree. We won't get into all that this morning. Hey, number one, embrace who you are. Hey, embrace that you're a young adult. Hey, embrace that you're a sinner saved by grace. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. And don't let the world beat you down. You need to know who you are. You're a young adult and you're a sinner saved by grace. Number two, as David is about to get into this battle, David knew what he was. He knew what he was. It's mentioned many times in this chapter. Look at chapter 17, verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. David said unto Saul, "Thy servant keep his father's sheep." Verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. David knew what he was a shepherd. Verse 28, his brother mocks him. So it's amazing. The world's going to mock you, but be careful, because the brethren will mock you too. But endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Get in the battle. Stay in the battle. Be what God has called you to be and get involved. He said, well, the brethren shouldn't mock me. Well, they do. No big deal. Keep on going. David says, I'm a shepherd, and I'm not ashamed of that. I keep the sheep. That's what I do. The young man that kept sheep was the only man. Listen, the young man that kept sheep was the only man going into the battle. He was the only man prepared to fight. Number three, David knew what his abilities were. Verse 40, the Bible says that he chose him out five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. So he goes and he picks out something that he's familiar with, stones out of the brook, a shepherd's bag. It says also in verse 40, his sling was in his hand. Verse 38 says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded the sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Listen, know what your abilities are this morning. Just do what God is giving you the ability to do. When I was 18 years old, I graduated from high school, and my first act of full-time Christian service was I worked in Awanas. The only thing I knew was that I had a pretty good connection with kids, and that's where I started. Wednesday night Awanas, kicked in the shin, all kinds of terrible things in Awanas. And that led to driving a bus, and that led to driving a Sunday school route. That led to teaching eighth grade boys Sunday school class. So what ability did you have? The only ability I knew I had is I had a connection with young kids. And then I went with that. Know what your abilities are. Don't try to be what someone else thinks you ought to be. Be who you are supposed to be. So I don't have an outgoing personality. That's okay. God made you. But he gave you some talent. He gave you some abilities. Go with what God has given you. David said, listen, so I can't wear this armor. I can't put this stuff on because I've not proved it. It's not part of who I am. Now, you need to develop your skills. You need to grow and mature. You need to step out of your comfort zone. You need to get involved. Develop your abilities so you can be all that God would have you to be. David learned something while tending sheep. He became proficient with that sling. He took advantage of the time he had with the sheep. He knew what his ability was. Do you know what your ability or abilities are? What ability is God giving you? What gift is he giving you? Whatever it is, use it and get engaged in the fight. Don't stick it in a napkin and bury it in the earth. Take what ability you have and do something with it. The last thing I want you to see this morning is that David knew who he was. David knew what he was. He knew what his abilities were. But the last thing I think is very obvious to us in verse 37 is he's talking to Saul. He says, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Number four, most importantly, David knew where his help came from. It came from the Lord. Psalm 121:2 says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Verse 45 of chapter 17, notice the phrasing. He says, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. I understand this morning we didn't start this fight. All we're doing is fighting on the side of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His fight. It's his fight. And I tell you one thing, God knows how to win a fight. The Lord is my helper. I'm not going to fear what man can do to me. Go out there and get engaged. Use the abilities that God has given you. Grab hold of your youth. Grab hold of who you are. Grab hold of your abilities and understand that with God on your side, there are great and mighty things you can accomplish for the cause of Jesus Christ. God delights in doing something through people that can't do anything. I don't have time to get into it, but David ran to the battle. Timothy was engaged. He was moving forward. Run. Do what God would have you do. Get engaged.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.